by Kevin Williams. Play action and boom! He's buried and it's Jared Allen.
And it's intercepted by Chad Greenway.
Wander out of the shotgun. Third down. Pass is left. Caught Rudolph, his money man. Inside the 10. 5. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your weekly connection to Minnesota Vikings football. Vikings Tonight is brought to you by U.S. Bank, Pepsi, and Verizon.
Touchdown, Vikings!
Now, here's your host of Vikings Tonight, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
A pleasant Thursday evening to you, wherever you may be. Minnesota Vikings football is on the air. Well, it's not the games, but guess what? We're going to know about the games less than 30 minutes from now. Why? Because 7 p.m. this evening Central Time is schedule release time. Now, we already know who the Vikings play at home and or on the road. You can get that at Vikings.com. We just don't know the dates, but that all will fall in place this evening at 7 o'clock. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Vikings Live at Winter Park, Vikings Tonight, that is, on the Vikings Radio Network, which is what we're doing now. Talk about the NFL Draft, which is a week from today. This time next week, yours truly with Paul Charchian and Pete Bursich will be at Winter Park for the Vikings Draft Party and Radio Show, Vikings Select 23rd and 25th. Big show here, prepping you for that draft. But after the show at 7 o'clock, I'm going to stick around and analyze the schedule for you after it's released. The home games, the road games, where they fall. And for those of you on the network, if you want to listen to that, go to KFAN.com or iHeartRadio. For those of you who love Fan Outdoors on the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan, don't shoot me with your bows and arrows unless it's of the Cupid ilk, because you'll have Fan Outdoors right after the schedule analysis. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com was in studio with yours truly earlier in the day, and I talked to Wobby about Jared Allen, Brian Robinson, Everson Griffin, and Kevin Williams. Oh, only our best defensive linemen. Whether they'll be on the team 2 years from now.
With player movement and the way it goes, yeah. Right. To go 4-for-4 on that, to be able to have the four good players like that back would be tremendous, but you certainly can't count on it.
So
I agree.
So do you start planning for the exodus this draft?
Or yes.
Do you look? When I say plan on it, with 23 and 25, do you look at it like, we know we're going to lose, because I think this is Kevin Williams' final year with the team. The way the restructure went and everything, he's nearing the end of his career. I think it's a gallant end to his run here and for the Metrodome all in the same time. So therefore, do you think it behooves the organization to look at that spot for the long term and the immediacy with 23 and 25 right now?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's... This is one of the biggest disconnects between you and I and fans who want to talk about the here and now in the draft that's 1 week from now, and then people that work within buildings of NFL teams and have to build a roster. This is one of the biggest disconnects, because they have to look at the 2014 roster. They have to look at the 2015 roster, forecast player movement, figure out where the holes are going to be, anticipate changes they're going to wind up making, and then draft accordingly. And so even though you might look at a position and it's not a serious need for you at this point in time, you might say to yourself, well, we know X, Y, and Z are going to happen, so this position is going to be a big need for us 2 years from now. And yeah. I think a recent example of that, and a good example of that, is Kyle Rudolph.
Okay.
You look back to the 2011 draft. We're in the second round. We just took a quarterback. You got Schenkel and Kleinsaucer and all that. And
where'd this come from?
And right. And it's like, you don't need a tight end. Why? They took a tight end in the second round? I mean, and the value, the value was too good to pass up, because he was the best player at his position. He was available to us in the second round.
Yeah.
But B, the Vikings, Rick Spielman and George Payton and Scott Sudwell probably anticipated that Jimmy might retire soon.
Yep.
We don't want Schenkel anymore, or whoever the guys were on the roster at the time.
Yep.
They probably anticipated a need and took a guy too early.
Same thing with Jarius Wright, middle of the draft last year. Yet you have the best slot receiver in the NFL.
Right.
But here comes this accomplished kid who played 4 years at Arkansas. And he had some years with some very big numbers.
Right.
Can't find him with a searchlight the first half. Percy's blowing up. Percy gets hurt. In comes Jarius. They may have seen some Harvin-related tumult with the contract
yeah.
being an issue.
That's good.
Yeah. That, so therefore, you do that middle of the draft. So, yes, they will be doing that. But now, with all the private and public conversations you and I have had about the draft, and it's been countless hours on the radio or off the radio, we're now within a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it now is go time on opinions.
Right.
You're here today. You're here tomorrow. We're not. I'm not pinning myself down, and I'm not pinning you down now. But right up in front of the draft, I do feel we need to have a more conclusive and clear idea as to what we think they will and or should do. I'm edging closer to it where I've talked about a million things. I ain't going to go over them now. For instance, I don't believe the Vikings. I ain't going to go over them and analyze. I don't think we take a quarterback the entire draft. That's my guess. I believe Tavon Austin goes 16th to the Rams. I also believe the potential for us to trade one of our picks back and get early in the second round,
mm-hmm.
I believe that's very prevalent.
Right.
In fact, between 35 and 50%, somewhere around there,
right.
which I think is a high number when you're trying to predict something like that.
Yep.
But the closer we get to it, Wobbskoll, now that I'm pretty set on the players and where they're going to fall and where the real depth is, I'm not seeing receiver in the first round.
Okay.
I am not seeing the Vikings taking a receiver at 23 or 25 unless there's one of the non-super obvious names. Tavon Austin, Cordero Patterson, Keenan Allen. Those have been the three big names. Unless they absolutely adore one of them, and I'm not sure they do, if they take a receiver, I think it's going to be somebody who people have slotted early in the second round.
Sure.
Like Robert Woods from USC.
DeAndre Hopkins,
Clemson.
Yep.
Terrence Williams, Baylor, wherever he's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Because they know if they don't do it there and they can't trade, they can't get him.
That's the thing.
So therefore, if we do, we absolutely, one of those picks goes to defense. But I believe both may now, with Winfield and looking at the defensive line and the deals up, and this may be it for Kevin. So I'm starting to hone in on defensive tackle, linebacker, or linebacker, defensive tackle.
Sure.
Or defensive tackle, wild card receiver they love and catches people off guard
a little bit. Okay, so let me throw a scenario in front of you, though. Let's pretend that we're in the draft meetings, all right? I'm going to come at you the other way. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're whoever you are, you're Spielman. I'm going to say, okay, well, how about this? I'm going to role play. We have this quarterback, Christian Ponder, that we took in the first round a couple years ago, and we think he's going to be the answer for us. He's improved. Last year, he finished the season strongly, had a tremendous last four games of the season to lead us into the playoffs,
Wobby.
And showed some promise. But he's not over the hump yet.
Right.
We're not sold that this is going to be the answer.
Charch gives him an incomplete for last year. He sold me on it. I agree. Last year for Christian was an incomplete.
Well, okay, but I think he moved closer to where we want him to be.
He finished meant a lot to me for the future of Christian Ponder with this team.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. But since it's not complete and we're not 100% sold, why waste an opportunity when you have two first-round picks? Why waste an opportunity to go get a receiver in the first round? Because a year from now, we don't want Charch to convince us that 2013 was incomplete.
Right.
We need it to be complete. We need to know one year from now.
Absolutely.
So I'm not advocating for this. I'm saying this is the other school of thought.
Yeah.
It's like, why are we going to waste this opportunity to add such a great playmaker to our arsenal when we know we need to improve the passing game because it was ranked 31st last year?
Okay, but see, I feel you, and this may be the altruistic approach to it, but in my football mind heart of hearts, I believe Greg Jennings, a healthy Jerome Simpson, a year two Jarius Wright, and Kyle Rudolph catching passes with the identity of your offense being a running game, I'm good with that.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I'm good with it to make the Mission Meadowlands.
Yep.
Yes, I concede you need two. And with those two, I'd like to see one in uniform every week and making a contribution every week. But with Greg Jennings, and this is my opinion that Jerome Simpson will absolutely bounce back next year. Jarius will be better. Kyle's already good. And by the way, you give it to the Beast 25 times a game.
And by the way, none of those receivers that you mentioned, tight ends and receivers, were first round picks. And we're good with them. So you don't have to get one in the first round. But
right. Yeah. But with Greg Jennings, if they didn't make that move for Greg Jennings, then I would be offended if they didn't take a receiver at 23. They would have
right,
to.
Right, I see you.
I mean, it would have to be, oh my God, Cordarrelle Patterson's there at 21. We know he's raw, he's boom or bust, but we have to trade up to get him because we have nothing. We no longer have nothing.
Yep, and here's the other thing, too, is when you're talking about we're going to rely on this position and in this spot in the draft, mm-hmm. I, historically, looking at the draft, I am more comfortable saying, okay, if we have to not address a certain position in the first round, but we're going to address it in the second round, what is it going to be? I'm more comfortable with wide receiver than I am corner in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in love with a linebacker and he's the pick at 23, and then it's a decision between corner and wide receiver at 25, I'm in the room saying, and both players are graded equally, I'm in the room saying, let's take the corner in the first round and rely on the depth at receiver in the second. Because I just don't think you see a ton of really good corners that came in the second round. And conversely, I do think you see that at receivers. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Greg Jennings was not a first-round pick.
Third round, maybe Western Michigan.
And I hate to point to the Packers, the rival colors on this, but Jordy Nelson, James Jones, they weren't first-round picks. Brandon Marsh.
Jordy early in the second round.
Yeah, so I mean, you can get talented, productive receivers in the second round. I'm not as confident, and I'm not talking about just the Vikings. Any team can find with that higher percentage cornerback in the second round. I think you got to lean on the first.
I have steam.
Wob Schmidt.
Doesn't mean it's accurate. We'll feel out the steam over the weekend and up to the draft. Alec Ogletree, Bears. Ogletree, Georgia. Hot commodity once the draft rolls around. People have him between 23 and 32 right now. You know, with the mocks and the steam and everything that you see online. The non-online actual within family of game steam. Ogletree, big-time candidate for the Bears. And before 23, also steam, and I wrote about some of this yesterday on my show page at KFAN.com. Paul Allen show page if you want to read it. Desmond Trufant by 23.
Love him.
Dead, gone. Gone. Desmond Trufant, second best corner NFL draft.
Really like him.
And gone prior to 23 or 25.
Two brothers who have played in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Trufant did. Was a standout guy at the Senior Bowl. Good size speed combo. Zone or man.
Right.
Good. I would love it if he fell to us, but I agree with you. I think he'll be gone. And it'll be interesting to see. You know, and the thing with corners is, there can be a corner who just doesn't fit your scheme. Like there are, like Richard Sherman is a Pro Bowl cornerback. He's probably going to be an All-Pro several times.
Top five in the NFL, but in my opinion.
There are some now. It might be a different story because he kind of blew up last year, and anyone would take him on their team. But last year, before he blew up, so there might be defensive coordinators who look at that guy, just the size and the frame and the style, and say, "Great player, but you know, I can't use him. He doesn't fit our scheme."
He was a wide receiver at Stanford catching passes from Andrew Luck.
Right. So, and that's going to happen to some corners in this draft that could be available. And one guy that stands out to me is the Xavier Rhodes kid from Florida State.
Yeah.
You know, to me, he strikes me as a Richard Sherman type of corner.
Okay.
And so I guess my point is, with corners, you also have to look at schemes. So not only do we want a good corner to be there for us at 23 or 25 so we can consider that guy, we need that guy to be the right corner who plays the scheme that we're going to play.
I think defensive tackle's a near cinch at 23 or 25.
Really?
Yes.
And the reason that surprised me a little bit is because that's such a deep position.
Thanks, Wobby. Draft next week. Would not be surprised if A, we pick one and trade the other early into the second round. Great year to amass draft picks for the first four rounds. And as of now, we have six picks through the first four rounds. Hear me when I tell you that. Great year to amass picks and have a zillion through the first four rounds. I think we'll be trying to do that this year. Or if we own 23 and 25, it could be defense. Because Jared Allen, Brian Robinson, Everson Griffin, and Kevin Williams, all of their deals are up at the end of this year. We thank Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com for joining us. The well-respected Don Banks from SI.com. He talks draft with Vikings tonight when we return to the Vikings Radio Network.
Can your business wait for downloads that turn into downtime? Can it wait for bills from the phone company to get easier on your bottom line? Of course not.
The Fan.
Paul Allen, play-by-play guy for the Minnesota Vikings. This is Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network. Some draft commentary momentarily. But we are Walking up to the National Football League schedule release portion of the equation. We're going to do Vikings tonight, break, come back. I'm going to analyze that schedule for you for about 10 minutes because the Vikings 2013 schedule is released at 7 p.m. Information at KFAN.com and Vikings.com. I'll be writing on my show page later, Paul Allen show page at KFAN.com, kind of offering an opinion as to how the games stack up and the primetimers and the MVP and all that kind of stuff. So that's at 7 o'clock, the Vikings 2013 schedule, final season, Mall of America Field. It will be announced. Make sure you stick here to the flagship, FM 100.3 The Fan, or those of you on the network, KFAN.com or iHeartRadio. Don Banks, SI.com. He and I were talking about all of the mercurial players like Honey Badger in this year's draft.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It seems like more and more every year there's a few guys that everybody in the league has to kind of make their own personal assessment of, the risk-reward factor. I think those are two of the guys that are the most obvious. Both very talented, but they're not going to fit on every team. There's going to be some teams that just won't touch them. They'll figure they've made too many mistakes to deserve, you know, like a second chance. And I always say it only takes one team, and I think Honey Badger's going to find a team really willing in the middle rounds to take a chance on him, because I think he's an impact player, and this league is always looking for those.
So, Don, you do think it may be middle round-ish, like 3 or 4, because the closer we get to it, we're a week from it now, I'm thinking a Belichick of the world's just not going to want to miss on him, so they're going to reach into the second round and take him.
I think it's possible, Paul. I think it's the people I've talked to have consistently said third round. But I think, you know, again, if somebody's got a conviction and has been laying low and feels like the kid obviously has made a pretty major life behavioral turnaround, they may think he's worth a second round pick. The other teams I've talked to still get a little hung up on his lack of height and don't see him, you know, as anything other than perhaps a nickel corner.
Don Banks, SI.com. If you'd like to follow him on Twitter, it is at Don Banks, standard spelling, at Don Banks. You talk about people with whom you chat, calls, insiding, background, that whole thing that we all do. How have you found the lines of communication to be this year? Because I think this is, in my 14 years on The Fan, this is the most unpredictable draft I've ever seen, and the lines of communication have been a little sketchy this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think people in the league are a lot like people outside the league. No one's quite sure how this thing is going to unfold next Thursday, Friday night, in the top three rounds. I think a lot of people really feel as if there's going to be a lot of trades because no one is all that enamored with their draft slot.
Yeah.
And again, I wrote this at the top of Mock 6.0, which came out yesterday.
Yep.
Thankfully, only one more to go. You know, that run of offensive tackles, I think, is really going to spawn some movement because there's more teams that need a quality elite tackle. And I'm talking about San Diego at number 11,
yep.
Arizona at number 7, there's Detroit at number 5. There's more teams that need one than have the ability to get one. So I think that's the most logical place to look in the top 10 for that tackle run to start, and then teams to try to position themselves. Everybody knows Cleveland at number 6 wants to go down.
Yep.
And so that's a spot that if you're going to try to get over Arizona at number 7 and get, let's say you're trying to get Oklahoma's Lane Johnson, that's where you're probably going to get to.
Yep.
I think there's going to be some real competition in the second half of the top 10 for that third tackle.
And the Vikings sit at 23 and 25, Don. And, you know, Spielman's obsessed with trading. He traded up to get Harrison Smith last year. He traded back a couple of years ago, ended up with Chris Cook early in the second round, so on. And I do believe there's a greater than 50% chance that the Vikings trade one of their picks and try to get early in the second round.
I agree with you. I guess I would be not shocked, but I would be surprised if they stick at 23 and 25 and take two players off the board. Now, there are scenarios, I suppose, where the guy that they want to target in the second round is not there, but I think it's better than 50%, as you say, that they're going to move. One, that's Spielman's MO. He just likes to play the game. Some yep. GMs just don't trust themselves. They think they're going to screw something up. He's not afraid to,
yep.
and I think the second pick gives them a lot of latitude. Obviously, I went with Trufant, the cornerback, and the ever-popular Teau, the right. linebacker, at 25 if they stick. But all this is an exercise in trying to be logical about your thinking and trying to talk to as many people as possible and then put plug names in and then change them next week.
Don also provided us with his mock draft, specifically the picks right around the Vikings.
22.
St. Louis from Washington via the RG3 bit. What do you got?
Well, in my latest scenario, I think they'll run the card up to the stage, even though they really don't do that anymore, for Kenny Vaccaro. I had him taken Tavon Austin at 16, so if they can plug their need for a receiver and get the safety they need, and he is, I guess, the consensus top-rated safety, I think the Rams would be very happy to come out with that twofer in the first round, and I think it would put the building blocks in place for a second consecutive great draft in St. Louis.
Next,
the Vikings.
23, us.
Well, I've been around a number of names, but I went with the cornerback, Desmond Trufant. I just think if you look at their depth chart, that's where the greatest need is right now. And with Winfield obviously not returning and going to Seattle, I think it puts a little bit more of a spotlight. Another name I think they should look out for in Minnesota is DJ Hayden, the Houston cornerback. He's really rising up a lot of boards. Intriguing story with the medical emergency at practice last fall. But I think he's a guy that has great coverage skills. He is aggressive, can play up, can play back. So I gave him Trufant, but Hayden is a guy to keep an eye on.
24.
Indy.
Well, I went with DJ Fluker because I think he's too good to last any longer on this board. It's not their greatest need in Indy, but again, they have Anthony Costanzo, who's been underwhelming at left tackle. They went out and signed Gosder Cherilis from Detroit as a right tackle because they know that their offensive line got Andrew Luck punished as a rookie.
The Vikings.
25.
I'm sticking with Teau. I know a lot of people scoff at that, and I'm not trying to make a judgment on what I do. I'm trying to make a judgment on what the Vikings will do.
Right.
We know they like Notre Dame guys. We know they feel like with the second pick, I think they have a little leeway.
Yep.
I'm not going to use the Denny Green bonus selection of 1999 term, but there's an obvious need there. I think he's their type of player. I think it's probably the right type of team environment to bring his situation into.
Don's elite. It is SI.com to follow his commentary on the NFL. A couple of things to close. Three, thank you for listening. Secondly, the schedule release is right around the corner. I'll be back on the radio on FM 100.3 The Fan, KFAN.com or iHeartRadio, analyzing said schedule. And thirdly, this time next week, Draft Party, Mall of America Field, radio show with the NFL Draft. Show begins at 6:30, uniform unveiling, players, the whole thing. Then the Vikings pick at 23 and 25. And of course, we will carry that live for you on your favorite radio station, no matter where you are. We thank Joe Nelson for his assistance with the show. He's the producer, and I'm Paul Allen. Thanks for listening to Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Bookending with the last place team and the champs in early December, a pleasant, snowy good evening to you. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Mike Wapshaw from Vikings.com for a schedule release special segment on the Minnesota Vikings. In fact, reaction right now can be found on my show page at KFAN.com. It's the Paul Allen show page from 10 and 6. Here is the Minnesota Vikings schedule. I'll zip through it while you get pen or pencil and paper. Then you can write it down with the dates and the times, everything. Here we go. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Paul. Let's get to this.
At Detroit Lions, at Chicago Bears, Browns here, Steelers home game, but it's in London. Then we chill week five with a bye. Then the Panthers here. Then we go to the New York Giants. Then we have the Packers here. Then we're at the Cowboys. Then RG3 and the Redskins are here in early November. Then we go to see Percy and Antoine in Seattle after that. Then we're at storied Lambeau Field. Chicago comes here with five to go. After that, we have the Baltimore Ravens. They're the champs in early December, and we go there. The Philadelphia Eagles come here with three to go. After that, we're at Cincinnati, and we close the season, and we close Mall of America Field in the Metrodome with the Motor City Kitties, the Detroit Lions, on December 29th. Let's go through it game by game, then quarter by quarter, and once again, reaction on my show page at KFAN.com, the Paul Allen Show page, can be found right now. The Minnesota Vikings, off a 10-6 season last year, debut Sunday, September 8th, at the Detroit Lions. The game is at noon.
And we start the 2013 with a division opponent, Paul. And in fact, as you're going to discuss here in a little bit, we start the season with two road NFC North games. And as we go through the schedule and tell you some more details, folks, you're going to find out the schedule makers did not do us any favors. And I think this is hurdle number one. Back-to-back division games on the road to start the season.
September 15th at Chicago, two in a row on the road in the division, just like Wabi said.
The only good thing about this is September 15th is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Cleveland Browns, September 22nd. That is the home opener for the Vikings. Week three, September 22nd, noon, Cleveland Browns.
Trent Richardson against Adrian Peterson. Nice running back combo coming to you, fans. Your first home game of 2013, the final season at Mall of America Field. It starts with the Cleveland Browns, an unfamiliar opponent, but a team that has a power running game just like your team does. Should be fun to watch.
Week number four, it's a Sunday, September 29th, the Pittsburgh Steelers home game, but it's in London at Wembley, and this bad boy starts at noon Central.
We're going to be homesick, Paul, here in the first four, five, 6 weeks of the season, because we start with two in a row on the road, then we come home, but while we have a home game against Pittsburgh, it's in London, then we have a bye week, so the Purple Faithful, they're going to be starving for a home game by this point.
By week after week four, this early in the season, your thoughts?
Not what you want. Has to happen because you play in London. The NFL mandates you have a bye week following the London game, so it's not what you want. The good thing is we have a Thursday game here later on in the second half of the season that kind of gives you a bye on the back end of that.
Yep.
That's kind of nice, but yeah, I mean, the early bye does you no favors. It impacts how you perform or how you structure training camp. It impacts some of your roster decisions early in the season. It's not preferable at all.
This is a schedule release special segment on a snowy Thursday night. Paul Allen and Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. Of course, all Vikings pre, regular, and postseason games can be heard right here at FM 100.3 The Fan, the long-running flagship for your favorite football team, the Minnesota Vikings. So we're through four. At Detroit, at Chicago, Cleveland at home, Pittsburgh home game, but it's in London. Early October, we chill on the bye. Come out of that, Cam Newton takes the snap, rolls out to the left, and he is sacked by Jared Allen on Sunday, October 13th. The Carolina Panthers here at noon.
Folks, I mean, this is a nice game because the Panthers are already a flashy team with Cam, those nice running backs they have, and Steve Smith on the outside, and I think the Panthers are going to take a receiver in the first round. They're going to get even flashier. But here's the thing. I have this game circled, Paul. This is a potential breakout game for the Vikings offense going against this defense. I think that they're going to neglect the defense in the draft by taking a receiver early, and I think this is where Christian Ponder, Kyle Rudolph, Greg Jennings, and company may have a breakout performance. It'll be at home. I think we're going to start well, and I think this is a breakout game for our offense.
Our first primetime game, Monday Night Football, October 21st at the New York Giants. We will be playing at the site of the Super Bowl, MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. 7:30 in the evening. It's Monday Night Football. It's ESPN.
We're going to have to get to know the facility. We're going to be playing there in February against the AFC champions, so we're going to have to pay attention on this road trip.
The Mission Meadowlands. After the Giants, we come back with another primetime game. If you want to play in the primetime, have an MVP running back, and we do. It is Sunday, October 27th. Green Bay at Mall of America Field, NBC game, 7:20 in the evening. Prime time, back to back.
Can't wait. I mean, the last couple of Packers games have, there's been a ton on the line. Week 17, we get in the playoffs. Then we play them in the playoffs. This one, prime time, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Then we go to the Dallas Cowboys Sunday, November 3rd, concluding the second quarter of games, where you you have the bye week with week 5. Then you play Carolina at the Giants, Packers here, at the Dallas Cowboys, noon, November 3rd.
And Tony Romo, and you know what? He gets a lot of criticism, but the guy can throw the ball. His career passer rating is in the upper 90s. This is a talented player. He's got good receivers. You got to watch Dez Bryant. It's going to be a challenge going down to Jerry World and winning.
Romo fires to the right, intercepted by the Honey Badger, and there he goes. Okay. 40-30-20, and Honey Badger is a loose, and the Vikings lead by 20. Thursday night football, third primetime standalone bit. Mm-hmm. Thursday, November 7th, Washington Redskins, Mall of America Field, 7:25 start, RG3.
All teams required to play on a Thursday night during the season. This is our Thursday night game. It's tricky because 4 days after we play the Cowboys, we suit up against another NFC East opponent in the Redskins. Going to be a fun one to watch. It's an appealing home schedule, Paul, and this is one of the big games.
And we get a few extra days to prepare for the next game.
Right.
Week 11, Sunday, November 17th, we go to Seattle. It is a 3:25 Central game. Yes, we are at Percy. We are at Winfield. We are at the Cappuccino Capital. Mm-hmm. Sunday, November 17th, it's an afternoon game.
It's time to decaffeinate the Seattle Seahawks, like to say, Paul. That's 3:25. This ends all of our non-noon scheduled games. The rest of the way, we have noon games. This one at 3:25, you can bet that Joe Buck will be there calling the game with Troy Aikman.
Week 12, Sunday, November 24th, at Lambeau Field to play the Green Bay Packers at noon.
Enough said. It's at Lambeau Field, late season, big game.
Week 13, concluding the third quarter of games, Sunday, December 1st. Bears here, Mall of America Field, noon.
Love watching Jay Cutler melt down because Jared Allen is chasing him. Brian Robinson is chasing him. It's going to happen. It's going to be an early Christmas present for us on December 1st.
Through the final five games last year, the Minnesota Vikings win 4-1, including win and in the finale against the Green Bay Packers. This is what the final quartet of games looks like for the Vikings. Week 14, Sunday, December 8th, we go to the Den of a Champion. We play at the Baltimore Ravens at noon.
Tough. I don't see a letdown here for Baltimore this season. Flacco is a tough quarterback. He's tough at home, and I think Baltimore is going to be a tough win. We can do it, but it's going to be hard.
Week 15, Sunday, December 15th, Philadelphia Eagles here, noon.
Let's see how those Chip Kelly-led Eagles are going to be doing. They're going to try and have an innovative offense. We'll see how it's going. They're going to have plenty of time to tune it up, and that's going to be a challenge for us.
Penultimate game of the season, week 16, Sunday, December 22nd, final road game. It's at Cincinnati. It's at noon.
An up-close look, Paul, at A.J. Green, who I think is one of the better younger players at any position in the NFL.
And we bookend the season with a last place product, the team that finished last in the NFC North last year, the Detroit Lions. We open with the Lions on September 8th, and the final game at Metrodome/Mall of America Field, Sunday, December 29th, Lions, noon.
We hope the Lions are licking their wounds from another tough season. We win the game, we get in the playoffs, and it's not the final game at Mall of America Field, because hopefully we'll have a home game.
Wobby, Paul Allen, schedule release special segment on your home for Vikings football, FM 100.3, The Fan. Over the next couple of minutes before we throw it to Fan Outdoors, your thoughts on the schedule?
Well, you know, every schedule in the NFL is tough, Paul. We know that from going into all the games and watching as many games as we do and the parity that's in the NFL. And there are some hurdles in this schedule for the Vikings. It's not easy. You have the London game. You have two games in the NFC North on the road to start the season.
Yep.
So you do that, then you go to London, early bye. That's tough. A mid-season meat grinder with three primetime games in 4 weeks, at Giants, home Green Bay, then you go to Dallas, then home Redskins. Three of those four games are primetime. I think that's tough. I think it's notable that you get Chip Kelly and the Eagles late in the season. I like that. They have that up-tempo offense. I think they're going to be fatigued later in the season. Mike Vick may be beat up from a season long. He might not even be playing anymore.
Right.
I kind of like having the Eagles late in the season. No back-to-back home games, Paul. And the reason I say that is because the London game is technically a home game. We come off the home Browns game, the home opener, and go to London. So it's technically back-to-back, but no back-to-back games at Mall of America Field.
I think in closing, the home schedule is terrific. You've got the Cleveland Browns week three. That is a very winnable game. I expect the Vikings to be good out of the gate, maybe like last year, really good out of the gate, finish extremely well, and have some rough patches in the middle, like some teams do with their schedules. But Cleveland's a winnable game. Everybody likes to see their favorite team win. Cleveland, Sunday, September 22nd, home opener. Then you get Carolina. Cam Newton at Mall of America Field is terrific. Final Packers game at Mall of America Field, October 27th. That will be a big ticket.
Yep.
RG3, November 7th. That's going to be phenomenal. Bears and that storied rivalry between the Vikings and the Bears. Final Metrodome Mall of America Field game, December 1st. Then you get the Philadelphia Eagles, and you close with a divisional game. I think the home schedule is absolutely terrific.
The home schedule is cool, and there's two that I'm going to circle, Paul. Uh-huh. Carolina Panthers, week six at home, a noon game. I think that, as I said earlier, that's the offense's breakout game. I think that's where our offense is going to shine, and we're going to have all cylinders running at that point. The other game is when RG3 and the Redskins come here November 7th. It's week 10. RG3 will be healthy and at full speed by then. That's a cool game. Fans, for season tickets starting as low as $279, you call 612-33-VIKES, or you go to Vikings.com to get your tickets. We have a cool home schedule, and it's the last one at Mall of America Field.
And hopefully we see many of you at the Vikings draft party 1 week from today at Mall of America Field. For ticket information and the entertainment docket for that evening, the NFL draft, please go to Vikings.com. And once again, if you would like a written analysis of the Vikings schedule, you can find it right now via my show page at KFAN.com. It's the Paul Allen show page. Good job, Wobby. Thanks, good evening, Paul.
All right, you too.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. That's a schedule release special segment for your favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. Fan Outdoors is next.